Amen.
Well, be finding your places, Revelation chapter number 12. I wish I could say what Brother Shank said. I started out a fat boy, and I'm still a fat boy. I didn't overcome that obstacle in my life. I really think Lord done used him to preach what needed to be preached tonight, and the Holy Ghost done a work. But I hope the Word of God will be an exhortation. He done preached everything in Genesis 1-1 to Revelation 22-21. Amen. But I'll try to encourage you just a little bit. If you're able, if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, we'll read one verse of Scripture, and I'm going to try to get out of the way. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. The Bible said, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you, thanking you, Lord, that you are everything and I am nothing, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd take the Word of God and do that work that needs to be done in the hearts and lives of your people. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. We thank you for some victory that has already been received. And I thank you, Lord, for the rejoicing and the worship that has already been offered. And I pray, God, that you'd continue to move in the hearts of your people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach just real quickly. I'm not even going to give you all the scriptures tonight. But I want to preach real quickly. I've been preaching for several services now on this thought. Are you in the they? The Bible said, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Now that's dealing with the child of God, the children of God. Can I just say the church of God? And I'll not deal with the little interpretation of the text here in Revelation chapter number 12, of course, in its prophecy. But in dealing with the application for us today, just the thought of, are you in the they? Let me quickly just say this, just so you know, it's already been testified about. It seems like some victory has already been gotten concerning this, but I want to say the devil is still at large. I want to say he's still the accuser of the brethren. I want to say that he is still accusing the brethren. And I want to say he's still accusing them day and night before an holy and righteous God. Amen. Trying to get God to turn his back on his children. But I want you to rest assured tonight, God will never turn his back on his children. Amen. Hallelujah. He never will. Boy, it was a glad day in old Shawneetown, Illinois, when I got a hold of 1 John 4:4, when he said, "Ye are of God, little children." Amen. When he said, "Ye are of God, little children," that hit me like a ton of bricks. I wasn't no little child. I done told you when I was born I wasn't a little child. Amen. But what are you saying, preacher? To God, I'm a little child. And there ain't a human being that's in their right mind that wouldn't do whatever they had to do to protect a small child. And if God looks at each and every one of us as his little child, you can mark it down. God will be coming to the rescue. Amen. Amen. He is our refuge. Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Shame on the devil. Amen. I'm thankful for that tonight. But I won't say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And when I think about the blood of the Lamb, I think about Calvary. Amen. And you can't think about Calvary without thinking about the birth. That virgin birth. Amen. You can't think about Calvary without thinking about that vicarious death. He not only died for you, but he died as you. Amen. He took your place. He fulfilled everything that needed to be fulfilled and said, "It is finished." Amen. And thank God for that victorious resurrection. I told you, Brother Shank, done preached everything. Amen. There ain't nothing left to preach. That victorious resurrection, he got up out of the ground. Amen. And it was on the third day. It wasn't on Good Friday. Amen. There might be a Good Friday, but it wasn't on Good Friday that he got up. He got up on the first day of the week. Early that morning. Amen. Before the women ever got to the sepulcher, he was up doing his work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What are you saying, preacher? I said, thank God for Calvary. Amen. Thank God for Calvary. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light of God. And the light of the world, the Bible says. And he's the life. He came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Amen. Let me just say quickly and hurriedly, let me just say that we also need to not only think about Calvary in the fact of the blood of the Lamb, but they overcame Him by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. What do you mean, preacher? By the word of the testimony. I see that as the conversation. I see the Lord working in the conversation of a Christian's life. Amen. And we ought to have, that conversation that would be pleasing unto the Lord. That word of our testimony is our conversation. Amen. And that deals with more than just what we got to say. That deals with our mode of life, our mannerisms, and everything about us and what we do. Amen. The conversation. Can I just quickly and hurriedly say this? I want to get to the final thought. But I want to say that you got to be equipped with truth.
Right.
You can't have the right conversation, the word of the testimony, without being equipped with truth.
Right.
Ephesians chapter number 6 tells us about that whole armor of God. He said to take unto you the whole armor of God. He also said to put on the whole armor of God. So it's not just putting it on, but it's receiving it into yourself. In other words, it's not just, if you please, a facade on the outside, but it is what is living on the inside.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen. If you ain't on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday what you claim to be in here on Sunday, you ain't right with God.
Yes, right.
Amen. Your conversation is not right. Amen. You got to be equipped with truth. The Bible said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. And then there's got to be that expression of truth. That's the actual voice that comes forth. Amen. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. In verse number 4, he said, and they shall turn away their ears from the what? The truth. People don't want to hear the truth anymore. They won't hear how good they are. They won't hear how healthy they are. They won't hear how prosperous they are. They won't hear how much you like them and how good they can sing and how good they can play a musical instrument and how good they can take up an offering and how good they can do all these things. But they don't want to hear the truth. Amen. Now, all them things are right to give some admonition and some accolades to people, to give them some help that they need to have and encourage them. We ought to be an encourager of the brethren. But if that's all you're doing it for, you're in bad shape. There ought to be an expression of truth. Again, I'm not going to take time to deal with all that in its entirety, but then there ought to be an example of truth in that conversation. In other words, living that life in a practice.
Right.
Amen. Can I put it this way? We tell the preachers lots of times, practice what you preach. Well, why don't you practice what you proclaim and profess? Amen. Why don't you just live what you're supposed to live? Hallelujah, church, you needed what happened here tonight. Amen. But don't let that escape. Don't let it just be a rare occasion. Let that be the normal. Amen. It don't need to be the unusual. It don't need to be the once a month or once every 6 months happenstance. It needs to be an every week thing. It needs to be an every time you come to the house of God that there is some true worship going on. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Help us. An example of truth. Can I read these verses to you real quickly? The Bible said, let no man, in 1 Timothy 4:12-16, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And I put out in parentheses, practice. Let your conversation, what you do, practice what is right. Be an example of the believer. When you're on the workforce, be an example of the believer. When you're in the grocery store, be an example of the believer. When you're at the house of God, be an example of the believer. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Can I say there's preparation involved to have the right kind of conversation? To be an example of truth, you're going to have to prepare. You can't live for God. You can't live and be as God. Amen. We're let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, are we not? Well, how are we going to know what that mind is if we're not studying the Word of God?
Right.
Amen, amen, and amen. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. In other words, preach. Proclaim. Tell it. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy property may appear to all. Ponder. Hey, it ain't all about what you read. It's about pondering or meditating upon those things that you do read. Amen. When you get to thinking. Isn't that what we just sung? When you get to thinking about what He's done. Amen. That ought to bring a joy inside your soul. That ought to cause a bubbling to start taking a place on you, and you can't get to heaven. Say amen.
That's right.
Amen. You looking for a way out. I'm talking about to go ahead and praise Him. Hallelujah. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's preservation. Do you realize if you live and walk in a holy conversation that you'll be not only preserving your own life, but them that'll hear you? Amen. That's the book. Amen. You might be the instrument God uses to keep somebody from going astray. You might be the instrument God uses to bring conviction in the heart and life of a sinner. You might be the instrument God uses to get somebody to the house of God, that they might hear the Word of God and get born again. Oh, what greater joy can we have in our soul than to know that God will use us. Amen. I could go to James 5. Amen. And deal with all that. But what I wanted to get to tonight was the third point. He said, and they love not their lives unto the death. I titled that courage. Courage. Now, I'm preaching on the thought, basically, how to overcome the devil. Are you going to be in the crowd that is going to overcome Satan and his crowd? Are you going to be in that crowd? And I want to give you three things that I believe will help us be in that crowd. I believe it will make you a they. One of the they. Yeah. Amen. If you have these three things right. Number one is your fellowship. Amen. Now, we saw a little bit of that tonight. What do you mean, preacher? We saw a lot of that tonight, just to be quite honest. 1 Corinthians 1:9, the Bible said, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible said, and they, denoting that it was more than one individual. Fellowship is a wonderful thing. But your first and foremost fellowship is with the Savior, with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Secondly, it's with the saints. 1 John 1:1-4. But in verse number 3 he said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You can have fellowship with the brethren centered around Christ. Isn't that what we had here tonight? Oh yeah, we need that fellowship. You say, well preacher, I just don't think human fellowship is all that important. Well, why do you think God made us that way for then?
That's right.
He told Paul, and Paul called Timothy, he said, you need to come, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. In other words, hurry up and get here. I need some fellowship. All men have forsaken me. He said, nobody's standing with me but the Lord. And praise God, that's all you have to have. But I'm not so dogmatic and not so arrogant to know that I can't use some human friendship. And thank God, I know Brother Hyde's been a great friend to me and a great help to me. And you know some of those stories. But I'm telling you right now, we as human beings need other human beings.
Yeah. Right.
And if your fellowship's right, it'll help you overcome the devil and all his opposition. But you got to have the right fellowship. You can't have your fellowship with the world. Your fellowship can't be with your family taking the place of God.
Right.
Amen. Mark 3:35, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Jesus Christ Himself said the most important thing in this life is doing the will of God, not answering a question that my mother or my brother or my sister has to ask.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Family shouldn't stand in the way of the will of God. Thank God sometimes families get on board and you can worship God with family, you can serve God with family, and have a great time in the will of God with your family. But not all families are like that. Amen. That's why God's family is your family. 1 Peter 4:1-19, we'll not take time to deal with all that. But suffering in the will of God. 2 Corinthians 6. And I don't want to get into this tonight really about some different things, but it's been preached for many years in a strange doctrine. Can I just put it that way? Yeah. Most people take verses of Scripture, and I used to do it myself. And can I say this? I didn't know any better, I guess. But I've learned a few things, and I'm not talking about compromising, but I've learned a few things about the Word of God, and I began to rightly divide the Word of truth. Amen. And a lot of these things make good application, but that ain't what the Bible's saying about what a lot of preachers are preaching. Amen.
That's right.
But you do need to separate. You don't need to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Hey, you can't go down here and fellowship with unrighteousness, church. If you want to have what you had here tonight, you're going to have to fellowship with the saved.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't say you couldn't be a friend to a sinner. I didn't say you couldn't encourage them to get right with God. I didn't say you couldn't even take them out to eat and bring them to the house of God or anything like that. But what I did say, and what I am going to say right now, if you're fellowshipping with the world more than you're fellowshipping with the people of God, you have a heart problem.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
A heart problem. But the Corinthians, I better not get into that. I don't want to get into that. But I want to say, secondly, there, if you want to overcome the devil and all of his workers, then you're not only going to have your fellowship right, but you're going to have your favor right. Now, see, some of you didn't quite get involved in that tonight. And you say, well, preacher, that's just not my makeup. That's just not what I'm going to do. Well, if you're saved by the grace of God, one of these days you are.
Amen.
You might as well get used to it now. You might as well let everybody else know whose side you're on now. Amen. If somebody said that I'll stand with you and I'll stand with you and somebody else attacks you and they just sit over on the sidelines and watch him attack you and beat the devil out of you, then you're going to think that person wasn't for me.
Amen.
Amen. So just go ahead and get in on it, amen, and enjoy it while you got time to enjoy it. But I won't say their favor. The Bible said they loved not their lives unto the death. So they loved not. So that means there must have been something that they loved. Now you're only going to love one or two things. And I got Bible for that. You're only going to love God or love mammon. You're going to love the one and hate the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. Isn't that the book?
Yes.
Amen. Oh, but thank God. Brother Danny. But God.
Right.
Commendeth His love toward us.
Right.
In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And your pastor quoted part of the verse a while ago, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, is that not enough to cause you to want to love Him? We love Him. 1 John 4:19, I believe, because He first loved us. Amen. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Amen. Let me go on. The Bible says we ought to love God. The Bible says we ought to love the brethren, love one another. Let me just quickly move on. I believe we ought to love the house of God. The Bible says in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Hey, this is the most important place that you can ever go to in your life. It's not the job. I know you have to go get work the job to make a living. I understand that. But this is the most important place in your life. It is more important to be in the house of God when the doors are open than it is to be on a job making double time. Amen. Oh, David said in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. In verse 6, he said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, that's the place, not the people. They shall prosper that love thee. You want to prosper? Love God's house. Love God, love the brethren, and love God's house. Joseph prospered in everything that he done. The Bible said that the Lord made him to prosper. And you know what? He was in bondage. He was down there and as sold as a slave. He was down there, didn't have anything. But yet God said he was prosperous. Why? Because he loved God. He loved God's house. He loved God's people. Because of the house of the Lord, in verse number 9, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Amen. And then quickly, of course, you know we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And then, of course, our neighbors, ourselves, Mark 12, 30 and 31. But then our faithfulness unto death. They love not their lives unto the death. If you're going to overcome the devil, you've got to be faithful. Faithful. Let me just give you these quickly and I'm done. Luke 9, 23 and 24 shows the beginning until the end. Here's what the verses say. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. 1 Corinthians 4:2 said, moreover it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Revelation 2:10 and 13 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. That means testimony. That 10, number 10 is a number meaning testimony. Be thou faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Let me quickly say, I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to face when I leave here tonight. None of us do. Thank God we don't. Amen. But let me say, on the other hand, we shouldn't sit around worrying ourselves to death wondering what we're going to face. Just because we don't know doesn't give us a right to worry. All right? And I'm not going to read the verses, but you really need to read the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter number 11, but primarily verses 32 through 40. Let me give you this and I'm done. When, preacher, do we take courage? You got to have the right kind of fellowship. You got to have the right kind of favor. And you got to be faithful. But when do we take courage? I'll tell you when you take courage. When you're discouraged. The Bible said, David said, that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me say, you need to take courage when you've been disputed. Oh, what about Job? He took courage, didn't he? And you need to take courage in the face of death, dying. You say, I just read to you Revelation 2:13 about Antipas there, the faithful martyr. I don't know if God will call on me or you or anyone in this building tonight to be a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's up to us to be faithful to it if He does. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I say, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord when the good times were going. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I can read between the lines there. Even when he lost his children. Then he lost his cattle. Blessed be the name. And his wife came and said, why don't you curse God and die? Lost the support of his wife. But he still said, blessed be the name. Hey, I don't know what we're going to face. I don't. And I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. But I can tell you this, according to the Scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, preacher.